right? Looking at your influences in the hybrid that your sound is that where you guys began, or have you evolved into the sound that you're in now?
Oh, let me tell you a story about Goodnight Sunrise. When we began Goodnight Sunrise years ago, we actually were going to call ourselves Blood Kisses.
Wait a minute, what?
This was very temporarily until our senses got the better of us.
No, so we were going to call ourselves Blood Kisses, and then everyone was like, oh, you're a...
Well, you should explain why. It's a reference from Anthony Kiedis' autobiography.
Okay.
Still, we did realize it was a terrible band name.
Well, because everyone was like, but are you a vampire band? And we're like, we don't know what that has to do with vampires. And everyone was like, okay, are you new? Anyways, our goal was to be a hybrid between Metric and Iron Maiden. Okay, that's where we started. Now, years later, we've not forgotten about that initial goal, but now we're more like, let's just be a super fun rock and roll band. Like, that's what should happen naturally. As we started writing music, really loving both of those bands, of course, but our tastes and our musical, like, just our expertise and what we listen to has evolved. So now we're basically just naturally, like, this super fun, dancey, but classic rock and roll band.
You're covering a lot of bases.
Well, I mean, you asked, you said, what? Tell me about you. Like, I'm trying to, you know?
No, that's great. I mean, honestly, we need to get away from trying to categorize everything and giving everything a label. Like, it's music at the end of the day. Do you like it or not?
Exactly. And that's it. It's like, you know, you can start, even when people are like, what are your influences? I'm like, sure, like, July Talk is an influence. Like, Florence and the Machine is an influence. But so is, like, a chocolate chip sundae. Like, that also influences me. You know?
No, I absolutely do get it. I do get it, because you just never know where your musical tastes lie, because it could be anything from, you know, like for myself, you could go Korn, but you can also go with Randy Travis.
Sure. And, like, people will listen to our music and be like, oh, my God, I'm hearing a lot of, like, Fleetwood Mac. And we're like, oh, like, I mean, I like Fleetwood Mac, but I would never call them an influence. Like, it's also what people hear in you, right? So, like, you think about it, someone comes to your show and they're like, oh, you really reminded me of, like, X band, but that's because they listen to that band, right? You're not going to remind them of a band they've never listened to. It doesn't actually make sense. Actually, now that we're really talking about this, this is really interesting.
Yep.
Huh.
Comes on from wherever, right? Just grabs your soul and away you go. Now, how did you guys come together? How did you guys meet?
Oh, God.
Well, I guess like 8 years ago, Vanessa and I were in a different band, and I was playing drums and she was singing, and we ended up kind of doing the band management, and we started writing songs together, like writing the lyrics together, and then when
we joined another band.
Yeah, we joined an existing band where they wrote the music, but then she and I started to work on lyrics together and doing the band management and booking shows and stuff. And we became best friends. And then when that band broke up, we still wanted to make music together. So we started Goodnight Sunrise.
Sounds like there was a bit of a revelation made there.
We wanted to make a band that was as drama-free as possible and that was just as much fun as possible for ourselves and for anyone else in the band, but then also for anyone who was coming to shows or listening to our music. We wanted to just connect with people, and so our live show is really as energetic as we can make it, because we love to get people involved and we just love to have fun, and we love to be able to create some fun for other people too.
Yeah, it's like the small bit of power we all have in this world, and our small bit of power is to give someone the best hour of their life where they feel nothing but joy and ecstasy and hope.
I'm sold.
So we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Now, with the shows that you guys have played, I mean, we understand, you know, people who work in radio or in the music industry, how tough it is really for a Canadian band to kind of get a foothold here at home in our own market. How have you guys been received across the pond in Europe?
It's honestly
really interesting because we went to the UK and we were like, okay, whatever. No one's heard of us. So it ended up being such a cool experience because I don't know. Obviously, all cultures are different and the music scene in every city and country and province is different. But it was so good. Like, people loved it. Like, they were kind of like, we've never seen anything like this before. And we were sort of taken aback. Like, we were like, really? Like, are we doing anything that different? But I think that was a really good jumping off point for us where we were like, we can totally be ourselves and be doing what we're doing and not be trying to be anyone else. And we can do that even more, you know, like, because we don't have to be anything for anyone. There are people that like what we're doing. And that was kind of really hopeful for us. Like, it was really, really good. It was a good turning point, I think.
Yeah, when you look at what we have to offer here in terms of festivals and stuff like that, we pigeonhole ourselves so much with our bylaws and our guidelines. Over there, their festival scene's just a free-for-all, but everybody seems, for the most part, to behave themselves. You couldn't get away with that here.
No. The other great thing about the UK is, like, bars close at, like, 11 o'clock. So we put on, like, these crazy rock shows, but a headlining slot would be, like, 10 p.m. So you're so full of energy, and everyone's, like, having a great time, but not, like, it's not 2 in the morning, and everyone's completely, like, had way too much to drink. Like, do you know what I mean? It's kind of a different scene.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, I mean, I honeymooned there with my wife, and you got a taste of it for the time you spent there. They finish work, they go to the pub, they're home by 8, napping to get up to go to the next day. Not like us, where, oh, we got to go home, have dinner, primp our hair, then get ready.
Yeah.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning, we're a bag of smashed apples, we got to get up at 7. Yeah, we're doing something wrong.
Yeah, definitely.
So the tour that you're embarking upon, is it nice to finally have somebody else kind of pushing you, you know, pulling the strings, taking the reins, and having you guys just kind of go out there? Are you guys still handling a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff?
Yeah, who's pulling the reins? Can someone please pull the reins?
Well, you got your management deal there, right, with Rejection. So it's you're on it, right, instead of always having to do everything for yourselves, no?
Well,
David, do you want to take that one?
That is our label. That is the label that we run.
You guys run your own label?
Yeah,
basically.
Good for you.
The curtain back.
Huh.
Vanessa and I have managed the band and basically do everything. We've started to, over the last 2 years, expand our team to get some people to help out with individual things. But so far to this point, we are doing basically everything. So Vanessa has essentially booked our entire tour for this summer. And we just got back a few days ago from a couple weeks out on the East Coast. And then we've got the shows this weekend, and then we're out playing in the Yukon the following weekend, and we've got shows throughout the rest of the summer. And that's just from working hard over the last 7 years to develop ourselves as a band and to figure out how this crazy industry works and navigate our way through it.
See, that's probably how, you know, the landscape has changed so much, because, I mean, I get this amazing presser with great graphics and all these links, and I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh yeah, hey man, this is great. You know, they've got people doing things in the corner, and then you find out, hey, lo and behold, it's you two still doing it.
But you know what? That is a really nice compliment. So thank you very, very much. Like, it's actually really nice to know that this is paying off for us, you know, that you actually think that. So that actually means a lot. We went through a phase where, like, I invented this fake manager named Morgan Wolf, and, like, I doubled as Morgan Wolf, and I would, like, call people and pretend to be the manager. But, like, that really fizzled out because I realized, like, you know, there was a bit of an issue. Like, people would call me and ask for Morgan, and I'd be confused because it was, like, my personal line. Like, and then I was like, what if they have to meet Morgan in person? Like, it just got to be too stressful. So, yeah. Just us.
That's a heck of a ruse you would have to keep up. Oh, that's just my crazy twin.
I mean, that could have. I mean, yeah. Like, maybe we'll pull it out again. Like, let's see what happens.
That's hilarious. So, set up your show tomorrow night. July 13th on the Friday.
At okay, the asylum.
We have a question.
Which sounds very intense.
Is Friday the 13th like a wearing a costume thing?
No.
Right?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. I mean, David was like, we should wear costumes. And I was like, but it's not Halloween.
I was just joking. But also, we do jump at any opportunity to perform in costume. That's true. But no, I wasn't. I was maybe like 10% serious.
Got it. Okay.
But back to the question at hand, we may or may not be wearing costumes, but we definitely will be putting on an awesome rock show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've played Sudbury a ton of times. We've played the Townhouse a bunch, but we have never played the Asylum, so we're excited to play there. And yeah, people in Sudbury like rock and roll music, so
yeah,
we like playing Sudbury.
That we do indeed.
Yeah. I'm excited to play an all ages show because, like,
yeah, that's true. Actually, yeah,
I'm really excited about that because, like, you don't get that opportunity a lot, and I really think that's what, like, I think about when I was younger and used to go to shows. Like, that's what influenced me, you know, and like to have an opportunity for like teenagers to go out and see music that's not the stuff they hear on the radio, and to experience like what music can give them in terms of an emotional release or like an outlet. Like, I want to provide that. Like, I'm so excited about that.
See, and there, that just goes to show you the different backgrounds people come from. See, I came from a little podunk community that had what we called Wally's dances that were put on by a guy that looked like a cross between Bobcat Goldthwait and Ron Jeremy.
Now we know what costumes we're wearing tomorrow.
Well, Vanessa, David, we wish you nothing but the best. I guess you guys, show business apply where you got to break a leg, or you just go put on one heck of a show. Perform like it's your last show.
I think all of those things apply.
I'm sure Sudbury is not ready for you by the sounds of things, but I'm sure they will welcome you with open arms.
Well, get ready, Sudbury. Get everyone.
Yeah, get
prepared.
Get your costumes. Get your costumes, really.